Hey, Rob, dead hot. Would you ever be willing to wear a V-neck?
Brain Dead Radio presents.
They destroyed everything he had. Everything that he was.
Now, all that stands between a city and a disaster is a man who's been out of action for 30 years.
Crime has a new enemy.
You really are crazy.
Get ready to rock.
And we are back. Yes, it's the Ed Hawkins Show once again. Joining me with today is quite a coup of a guest, I must say, is one Ari Stroessenberg. Yes,
oh, thank you.
The king of the Jews himself has finally arrived on the Ed Hawkins Show.
It's an honor to be here, sir. Honor.
Well, thank you very much, good sir. I know you took time out of your busy schedule of being the king of the Jews.
And sleeping on the couch.
That too?
Yeah.
Well, if I had a couch, you could be sleeping here, although I don't know what you'd be doing with it, but...
Yeah, there's not a lot of furniture.
Yes.
Definitely not like Pee Wee's Playhouse at all.
There's no sex swing either, no. I can assure you.
We're very disappointed in you.
And I'm not just saying that because I'm paying you to say that.
No, I'm too broke.
Yes.
I would take the money, but no, I'm not being paid
for that. Oh, I wouldn't want to cross your lovely wife anyway, so no, I would not do that. I couldn't do that to Sarah. Anyway, yes, one Ari Stroessenberg, also a contributor of voicemails on Brain Dead Radio and podcasts, but more importantly... You yourself contributed to a very short-lived but very, very good YouTube series on the Brain Dead Radio website called The Billy Blob and Todd Show. Isn't that correct?
Oh, yeah. It was a decent idea, I think. It lasted 2 episodes, and I still have a half of a third episode somewhere on a cassette at home somewhere. It's just took a little bit more time than I had, and I get lazy when it comes to stuff.
That's understandable. I can understand that, believe me. But you, sir, are no lazy panda. Let's put it down, you know, to brass tacks. You yourself, you know, homeowner. Sorry, there. Got beer is already working on me. But
beer. It's a good beer you got.
Yes.
Here. Some Shiner Bock.
Yes, straight out of Texas, out of the Shiner Brewery. Fantastic beer. Perhaps the only good thing out of Grindhouse, in my opinion. Although I think Grindhouse would have been a better movie had they had. Hobo with a shotgun appear in the fake trailers.
You can never go wrong with Hobo with a Shotgun.
Oh, absolutely. It was the best fake trailer that, unfortunately, did not appear in the U.S. release, but that's neither here nor there. So you had the Billy Blob and Todd Show, but you also yourself guest starred on the Kingpin of Cinema's little YouTube series. You just did that recently, I believe. Is that correct?
Yes, the Kingpin of Cinema has just started his own YouTube videos where he talks about movies and video games and stuff. So I went over to his place and we recorded a two-part episode on the Oscars. And that was fun.
It was a good show. You had a great alias of Dr. Cornschwagel.
Dr. Cornschwagel O'Malley Jr.
O'Malley Jr., M.D., Esquire.
Esquire. Yeah, yes. He couldn't get it right for the life of him. But we have a third video that we've done about He-Man toys that... should be up as soon as his buddy decides to post it.
Oh, okay. I know how that is. But speaking of toys, you yourself also have a blog that you review action figures, I believe. Is that correct?
I do have a blog called Plastic Lovin', which I have not updated since November, but that's going to be changing soon, my friend. I have my I'm gonna be doing a top 10 figures of last year list that I've bought. So.
Oh, yes. Any teasers or previews we can expect in the newest entry?
There will be... several He-Man figures in my top 10, but my number one figure is one I have not really talked about that much, but it is a very expensive and very awesome toy.
Oh, I can imagine. Was this out of San Diego, or you had to fight the hordes, the Twilighters, all that?
The Twilighters, oh.
I heard you were rolled for change by some brown coats, according to your testament of Hawkinism right there.
Yeah, those brown coats there, you got to try to avoid them at all costs.
Absolutely.
Scary.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yes.
But before we get into more about action figures, I just want to mention, yes, as I can see in front of me, Ari is clearly Jewish, and clearly. There's a very interesting tidbit about that, because Ari and myself went to the same Hebrew school a few years apart, but
crazy.
That's very coincidental. Obviously, I didn't see you because I went there. What was it, like 92 or something? Obviously, you went, I think, a couple of years before. But yeah. I imagine you hated it as much as I did.
Oh, man, I really freaking hated it. I remember the Fonz took his kids to my Hebrew school.
That's correct.
Too. And I saw him one night, and I had no idea who the hell they were. But my mom was like, oh, look who this is, Ari. And I was like, yeah, I don't give a shit.
Right. You don't know about Happy
now,
Days.
Yeah, now it was the Fonz.
Oh, yes. Oh, in fact, I mean, the same thing happened to me. When I was in Hebrew school myself, his son, I think his name was Max, was also in the same class. So, and we saw him one day. But, yeah, that was utter hell, and I myself was never bar mitzvahed or anything like that. I never got into the ritual.
I went through it all, dude. I did all my years of Hebrew school, had my bar mitzvah, had it all. The day after the bar mitzvah, that was it. I don't think I've been to a Hebrew temple since then, except maybe to pick up my grandma during the holidays, but that's it.
I can say that, you know, I don't know if you had brothers and sisters. I have two sisters and a brother. And I, you know, for one thing, being that we're here in L.A., and the high holy days are in September when it's hot as balls outside.
It's hot as balls today. Jesus.
I know. I'm glad we mentioned that because I'm sure, once again, the people in the Midwest and in the East Coast are cursing our names as we speak and wished
freezing their balls
and wished for the earthquake that occurred in Escape from L.A. to actually happen. Now, I want to point out, because I have seen Escape from L.A., this part of the valley actually stays okay. In fact, where I used to live becomes beachfront property. So
there you go.
We don't lose either way.
That's it. We win.
But going back to action figures there, I know it was shot, you know, you have, and I've been to your house, you have an amazing toy room. I mean, this is amazing.
Thank you.
It's a sight to behold. Really is.
I do have a few action figures in there. A
few hundred, I would say.
Yeah.
And the beautiful thing is, I mean, I guess you bought them. You didn't just buy them as a so-called investment, which is total bullshit. You take them out of the package, and they're just everywhere.
Exactly. You know, I mean, the only thing I kept in the package were the Star Wars figures because they were too crappy looking to take out.
Did you ever bent your Wookiee?
My Wookiee is straight as an arrow, sir.
Oh, okay, that's good.
Straight as an arrow.
Otherwise, you may have to go to a doctor for that sort of thing.
Droid is a little limp, but what can you do?
Well, that's George Lucas for you. But
that is Lucas.
It's funny, because, I mean, that I imagine that whole thing with action figures, that must have been like a, you know, a thing that's ever been with you since a kid. I know some people on the BDR forums would accuse me of being a robot, because I myself never really had action figures. At the time, when I was a little kid, action figures never appealed to me. I mean, I liked video games, and I liked, you know, that's what I'd got. I think my parents thought of it as like, well, with a video game, you could do a lot more than an action figure. So that's why I just never had any interest in getting them.
I had them, too. I had, besides the action figures, I had got Nintendo on my 10th birthday. Oh, I was so stoked when I got that thing.
Oh, yes, I remember when I got my Nintendo. It was also in 89, and I remember, did you get Super Mario Bros. 3 with it?
No, it was before Super Mario Bros. 3 had come out, so it came with Mario Bros. And Duck Hunt.
Oh, yeah. With the zapper, did you, like, hold it up against the TV and think it would work, or
damn
bird?
Always shoot that damn dog, that fucking dog.
Yeah, and no one can ever deal with the dog, but I remember with Super Mario Bros. 3, my dad always commenting about the little bushes in the first level that would dance, you know, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. I don't know, but, I never had action figures, but, you know.
I can't believe you never had action figures.
Once again, I mean, you know, it just so happened. Like I said, I wasn't banned from having them, but it just never was brought up. I don't know.
Well, I got a few spare He-Man figures if you ever want to come.
I never really followed that show back in the day. I followed Elf.
Elf?
Yes. In fact, my dad.
They made some Elf figures.
My dad.
A stuffed animal.
My dad, you know, back in the day, way back when, used to make me tapes that basically compiled ALF episodes, and these were compressed tapes, so you'd probably have maybe like 6-7 hours of recorded footage on a cassette tape, and, you know, sometimes, I mean, years later, I would watch them just because you could see the old commercials and see how things were.
Dude. Yeah, we had tapes of ALF, but, oh man, we had a tape, one video cassette tape with a bunch of TV shows recorded on it, including the fucking Charmings. Do you remember the Charmings, dude?
Never heard of it.
It was a TV show about, you know, Mr. Charming and Snow White and how they're living together in modern times with her stepmom there.
Is this animated?
No, it was a live-action show. They had one dwarf living with them. It was, and, I can't remember the dude's name.
This sounds, you know, kind of like this, because there was something, you had these weird outlandish syndicated TV sitcoms back in the day. I remember one involving a talking ventriloquist dummy, and it was called What a Dummy. The dummy would give advice, not unlike, you know, Bobcat Goldthwait and Happily Ever After. And it was the weirdest, it was just one of those odd shows. So I think right around the time when Batman the Animated Series was on prime time, you know, way back in the early 90s.
I'm telling you, dude, look up Le Charming on YouTube.
Le Charming.
Le Charmings.
Okay.
You will want to sound yourself to death after watching the...
I've seen some ridiculous things, so I you know, it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, I saw, you know, just recently Spinners on a Prius.
Spinners on a Prius.
Yes. Speaking that of that, how's your car holding up? Has it tried to kill you yet? Or,
my car is a lot better now that I have the accelerator problem because I can actually get up to a decent speed in a decent amount of time.
Yes, and
so
the thing...
So I'm happy. Thank you, Toyota. You've made my car actually go a decent speed.
Well, yeah, in case you're ever chased by the T-1000, you'll be ready to go.
Yeah,
you know?
Just press it down on the accelerator and bam, I'm off.
I can't. It's a Geo. Yeah. Now, see, I drive an older Toyota, so I don't even have to deal with that problem because of the technology being older, so... It doesn't even. I don't have to deal with, you know, my car suddenly going Christine on me or
that's
whatever
nice.
That killer car movie was with James Brolin. But
yeah, that's nice.
You but yeah, your toy room is unbelievable. And once again, I mean, do you have action figures all the way back from your childhood?
Oh yeah. Besides what you saw in the toy room, I have it a garage with like boxes and boxes of figures in there, and just no place for my old figures and shit, dude. Mm-hmm. I have the old Castle Grayskull and Snake Mountain and. Bunch of old Thundercats and X-Men and DC figures and stuff. But
yeah.
Someday I want to display them all, but oh, good lord.
Yeah, you're going to need your own little mansion room,
castle.
I think.
Castle, yeah.
Yeah, but so, once again, that's pretty cool that you have them out of the box. Was that something you just, I mean, you didn't have any idea about it when you were a kid, or...
When I took them out of the package as a kid? No, I just wanted to play with them as a kid. Now
right.
I'm older, I don't play with them, but a lot of them are... so cool looking that you don't want to keep them in their plastic coffins forever.
Right.
It's like these things have like a tons of articulation and all the paint and shit, so you just want to bust them out, pose them on my shelf.
Dude, put them in the lewd poses, you know,
exactly.
Where there's someone's ass fucking each other.
Oh,
so.
Beast Man and He-Man, the two new ones, they got it on the day I got them.
Oh, yes.
There's photo proof of that.
You got photographic evidence of this?
I sure do.
Yeah. For me, I never really felt, like I said, never followed He-Man, never really cared. I'm trying to think what else did I watch in the day. I remember there was DuckTales.
Oh, DuckTales was like awesome.
Chippendales,
Rescue Rangers. Did you watch Gummy Bears too? I loved
Gummy Bears. I barely remember Gummy Bears, but I do. It's there. Then there was Double Dare. Double Dare when it was on broadcast TV. I remember this distinctly.
Double Dare was awesome.
And, obviously when you around here it would be Channel 9 that had the Disney cartoons, and then Channel 13 would have the weird-ass syndicated cartoons.
Yeah.
It was the weirdest garbage. And, it's unfortunate because, as I said, last episode, I had my sister over here, 17 years old. You know, and I talk about this every so often, is that the youth of America doesn't know what it's like. You know, we had Saturday morning cartoons, you know.
You know what's really going
to
be...
We were the last generation to have that, too.
You know what's going to be really upsetting is the kids coming around now won't have video stores to go to and shit, dude. I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, we used to go out to the video store, and holy crap, that place was like... It was like an adventure. You'd go walk into the video store, and I'd sneak off from my mom and my sister and go into the horror section, start looking at Nightmare on Elm Street, pick up a Friday the 13th box and look at the back.
The infamous box art. Now, I remember...
Yeah, the box art. That stuff's all dead
going,
now, dude.
Yeah, going to the video store, I'd always steer clear of the horror section because I don't want to get any... Like, it would freak me out.
No,
I don't want any bad
dreams. It would
freak
me out, too, but it was so fun.
Now, when I was like 14, 15 at the time, I was like... You know, still going to the video store trying to figure out which movie could I be, like, beaten off to. So, like, I gotta, like, what crappy, shitty comedy can I look at? It's like, does this have nudity? You know, this was before Mr. Skin came around.
Yeah, well...
Breastuses, titties.
What was cool was I'd rent it, like, get weird anime films from our local video store. My mom would just let me rent them because it was... You know, she thought it was a cartoon and shit.
Yeah.
But then I'd bring it home and it'd be like, oh, my God, there'd be, like, sex and all this weird-ass shit going on in there.
Yeah.
So.
I imagine you probably saw like the original Vampire Hunter or something like that. And I saw that a few years ago, and that was like, oh man, there's some crazy stuff in there. But
yeah, I have it on DVD now. But
it's funny that when my dad he bought a Laserdisc player right before the format died. This is right when DVD started coming about in the late 90s, and it was very funny because there used to be this place, Dave's Laser, down in Studio City, very famous store. And occasionally you'd get anime from there, and I remember this one called Hyper Dolls, and like
Hyper Dolls.
Basically they were like cyborgs, but they would be like in between they were converting, they'd show up as nude, and my dad would be watching this while my mother would be walking by.
Oh my
God. Sisters are my siblings are watching this, we're all there, and I'm like, you know, at the time I must have been 14, 15, I'm like, oh God, you know.
My dad walked in on us at the very end of that Elvira movie. Where she's, like, got tassels on her boobs, and she's, like, spinning them around. My dad walked in on us watching that at the very end. And the whole movie was fairly tame, except for that end part. He's just, he got so pissed.
Like, really?
What the fuck are you guys watching?
Are you serious? But they caught you reading a Playboy when you were like three. Yeah, so
I'm pretty sure I was posed with that. I don't recall that exact specifics of that photo, but
I honestly don't know what's worse, to either be trying to watch something like that, the parents walk in, you're not doing anything, or to be caught beaten off. So
well, that
thankfully it never happened to me.
No, that never happened either. Thank God.
Yes, we never had our own Judge Reinhold, as it says. But
we did find a stack of a naked men porn in our bathroom for my sister had.
Oh my gosh, that's actually shocking to even hear that, like. Because most of that stuff is obviously for gay guys. Yeah, so
it was
so
funny. We had a little wall picture with it was a 3D wall picture, like a little porcelain thing, and it had a little toilet on it. It was something my grandma gave us, but it was like a little wall picture with a toilet. And inside, I was going to the bathroom, and I noticed that there was a bunch of paper stuffed inside this little fake toilet. So I pulled up all these naked dudes, and her excuse was she was holding it for her friend. Oh yeah, like anybody believe that one?
I'm just surprised to even encounter that a woman was caught with male pornography.
Oh, she'll kill me if she hears this.
Oh well, yeah. But
I'm saying it for the lols.
Yeah, the lols.
That was some epic lols back then.
Yeah, I can't say I've ever encountered that. I just remember once I think my mother had said to me, I don't know, one of my sisters, I think one of your sisters is getting her period. I mean, then I got pissed off. It's like, why did you tell me this?
No!
I don't need to know this. So that's ridiculous. But as I said, I mean, that's really surprising, actually, because you don't hear much about women going for that kind of porn.
Yeah,
as I think it was Dana Carvey as Strom Thurmond said, it's like women prefer a softer kind of pornography with fantasies and story to take them in place in another in another place of time.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. She was an early teen back then. It was a good time.
And then the funny thing is, you can find most of that stuff at any American Apparel, as I can say, as I'm wearing now the V-neck of justice.
You do have a V-neck on.
I do have it. That's why my sexification levels have gone off the roof, off the charts.
Yes, I have my Reanimator shirt, and you have a V-neck on.
Yes. Oh, both of them green, oddly enough.
Both of them green.
Yes.
That's true.
But yeah, it's a shame about, Were the cartoons back in the day, any good? I mean, let's get the brass tacks. With the exception of Batman the Animated Series, and I'm going to go against Rob about this because I've said it before, Gargoyles was a very good show.
Oh, I fucking dug Gargoyles, dude.
Yeah.
I totally fucking dug
and
it.
And, of course, some guys probably were, beaten off, went to that one episode where Eliza, I think it was the cop, became a gargoyle. That was some, for those into furries, that was some hot shit right there.
That was some early furry shit right there. But there was
boners had occurred that day.
Or something, because they didn't have any hair on them.
Yes. It's weird. They were, they had hair, but they laid eggs.
They laid...
I mean, the female gargoyles had tits, and they clearly... But they laid eggs. It was, who knows.
I even had some gargoyle toys that I got. Including the Jonathan Frakes figure that transformed into a gargoyle.
Xanatos, yes.
Xanatos.
Yes. There were a lot of Star Trek people
in
that show.
Out here. Yeah, there was, huh?
But I never really followed... Yeah, there were. I never really followed Star Trek, though, so... Only until recently did I finally watched Star Trek VI, and I got to rewatch Wrath of Khan.
Right. You see, we had them on tape when I was young. We had Wrath of Khan. We had parts 2, 3, and 4, and 5, and I remember watching them all on a really crappy VHS tape when I was a kid. Not part 1, not the motion picture.
Not if you want to. You don't watch 1 unless you want to cure your insomnia.
Yeah,
that's what I've been told.
That's what I've noticed. I was more of a Next Generation guy when I was a kid. Now I've come to enjoy the original series. In fact, I was watching the Trouble with Tribbles episode just last night on one of our weird stations, K-Doc, out here, which that's a classic episode.
Oh, it's a very classic episode. I never really followed Star. I think I can't think of any science fiction stuff I remember watching back in the day. I do remember. I do remember this because this was on Channel 5, another syndication station, KITLA. If you follow MST3K, KTLA, and they had this show called Earth Final Conflict. And at the time, yeah. I was like, "This is it's funny because I remember it was years later. I was like, "This show is still on." But more importantly, I was like, because at the time in the 90s, we were obsessed about aliens. So, and then it was like, a woman plays that alien character, and then it's like, I later found out they just electronically altered the voice. It was like, oh man, this is unbelievable.
I can't say I ever watched Earth Final Conflict, but I might have caught an episode or something. But
I never really followed it even that closely. I mean, other than that, I just watched crime shows all the time. I mean, it was, for me at that time, I mean, it wasn't when I was 10, but... And I used to watch shit tons of TV back in the day. There'd be Homicide, then I remember watching NYPD Blue with my dad, and we'd, you know, he would tape it, and then we'd sit down and watch it, you know, later in the week with, you know, Jimmy Smits, you know, shaking Jimmy things Smits. Down. Speaking of which, he kicked ass in the third season of Dexter. I finally got to see that. He was really good.
Yeah, we just watched that season.
Yeah,
we just watched it, like, last month.
Yeah, I haven't, I mean, because, you know, TV's not hooked up. I will say, you know, at some point, you know, season four with, you know, Patton and Lithgow.
That's the one I'm dying to see that one.
Yeah, Lithgow.
Lithgow got an Emmy, or they got that. I don't know, something got an Emmy.
Something got nominated, something, but Lithgow has always done really great work. I mean, he made Ricochet. Well, Ricochet is re-goddamn ridiculous. Have you ever seen Ricochet?
No,
with Denzel Washington.
No.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Yeah,
and
that's my next Netflix list right now.
I would recommend it. I mean, not as much. I mean, because I just recently saw another movie myself. I saw Gamer, which was shockingly enough not good.
That's a shocker. All
yeah,
right?
I know. I there. You know, personally, if you want to see Gamer, rewatch The Running Man. You're better off. Yeah. I mean, Gerard Butler's doing what he can, but it's just it's way too frenetic. I mean, Crank 2, that movie kicked ass, but to me, it was way too much.
Crank 2,
I don't know how you felt
Crank
about
2
it.
Crank 2 was a fucking live action. It was Grand Theft Auto, the movie. That's what
well, that's what Crank was. Is. But Crank 2 just like Crank dialed it up even, so high. It was yeah. Yeah, it was nuts.
It was so nuts. So nuts, but I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved that fucking nutty shit. The Gamer, though. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't think I'm going to be sitting around watching Gamer anytime soon.
The weirdest thing is, like, that movie is, like, Michael C. Hall's, like, only movie so far.
Yeah, that
and,
is
like,
weird.
And he's an amazing TV actor, but for whatever reason, the guy is just not doing movies. And didn't he has to has to do this movie. And the weird thing about Gamer, really, is, like, it's because it's so amped up, everyone also seems to have, like, this plastic sheen to him. You'd have to see it to believe it, but...
Well, Gerard Butler's whole fucking... career right now is a bunch of fucking romantic comedy shit.
Yeah, well, they try to make him like an action role action guy, you know, because yeah. they tried doing that. They did that with Dwayne Johnson, but see, there's no... I mean, most, you know, it's been said before, most of those kinds of movies, I mean, that was of their time. And I mean, I agree with them, because, I mean, those movies were good in their own way, but most of them were just utter shit. Like, I've said it before.
Right.
Oh, yeah, total shit. You know, Schwarzenegger, far better actor than Steven Seagal any day of the week. You know? Because I recently watched Hard to Kill. That movie was horrendous. So
I was more of a Jean-Claude Van Damme fan as when I was younger.
Did you see Sudden Death? I saw Sudden Death in the theater.
So, no, I didn't see it in theaters. I saw it. Oh,
because
I a while ago.
I remember my first rated R movie, and that was Money Train with Woody Harrelson, Wesley Snipes. The way we did it was that my mom, or I think my dad, bought the ticket, and then I just walked in with the ticket because I wanted to see it really bad.
Nice.
And you know, they told me, well, just make sure you don't mess around, and, you know, it's, you know, but clearly we don't want to see it, so here, we'll just do that, and no one ever stopped me, so.
Well, I remember my mom bought me and my buddy a ticket to go see Barbed Wire, and they would not let us in.
Jeez.
And you know what?
You were for the better.
That was for the better. I rented it eventually, and I just sat there watching that shower scene, and then it was all downhill.
I just saw the thing on the Nostalgia Critic did a thing on the Barbed Wire, and I was like, "That's oh god, horrendous!" I mean, he nailed it. It's basically a ripoff of Casablanca. The whole story is a ripoff.
Can't even remember what the story is, except
it's Casablanca.
There was a shower scene in the beginning. That was
but you know, you might as well just get her sex tape if that's what you're going to do. I mean, then you want to.
That was better.
Oh really? I've been told, you know, obviously because Tommy Lee, you know, is Tom because you've seen it. Are we talking? Mm-hmm. We're talking beyond John Holmes here, or beyond?
That guy was fucking steering a boat with his fucking dick, dude. He was steering a boat with his fucking dick. I was in high school when I watched that tape, and me and my buddies were just sitting around going like, "Holy fucking shit!" It was fucking amazing.
As I think my bartender once said at this bar I go to, it's amazing that these guys don't get lightheaded. And there's a very funny thing. About whatever, there's this weird kink of genetics, as I like to call it, the James Woods effect, because there's something about skinny guys that just for some reason have all that business down there. I don't know why this is, but it all comes back from the fact that, I don't know if you ever saw the movie The Onion Field, but which is a great movie. And
another one that I add to the Netflix list.
I would. I'd highly recommend
I'll
it.
Do it.
So in The Onion Field, there's a shower scene, because James Woods plays a killer, and he's with his partner of crime in jail. So they have to do a shower scene where his partner in crime basically goes down on him in the shower scene, and James Woods did not want to be filmed on camp, you know, nude in front of the crew. So they had to, like, section a part off. So they went in and did that, and the only people that are there are Woods, the other guy, the director, the script supervisor, and the writer. So they're there filming. Well, there's some startle. Just as the other actor's about to go down on him, some noise or something, like, went off. So basically, in effect, James Woods cock-slapped the other actor. And
oh shit, this is a.
And he then, the other actor was pissed off. He stormed out. And then he James Woods proceeded to walk out, nude as the world is the day God made him, to the whole crew, and effectively said, "Well, look at me now." And it was the writer basically said, "It's true what they say about skinny guys."
It's a Hawken approved film right there.
Well, I mean, it's not Oz. So
it's not Oz.
It's I don't want to see anyone going. I don't want to see James Woods in the nude anyway. So, I mean, somehow made it through Videodrome, but there's just certain actors you don't want to see nude out there. So
made it through Vampires, John Carpenter's Vampires.
How was Vampires anyway?
Oh, it was atrocious.
Mm.
They had a fantastic opening scene in that movie, and then it just fucking died downhill.
Was that the same year Dracula 2000 came out?
Oh no, it was actually it could have been close. I saw that. God, I didn't see Dracula 2000. I'm
trying to think if Gerard Butler was in that or something.
Dracula 2000? I don't know, but there was what the fuck was I watching? Dracula 3000 or some shit like that with Tiny Lester? The fucking...
No kidding.
Yeah, oh my God, you have to see
I want to see Blackula 3000. I think, you know what, if they've been able to bring back the Wolfman, I know you just saw this, and I'd like to hear your thoughts on it.
I did see
Maybe it's time we need... Blackula ought to come back.
You know
we
what?
I'd say bring him back, but I mean, I don't know if we'd want to have Samuel L. Jackson as Blackula.
I was going to say, it's going to be Samuel L. Jackson, bro. You know it's going to be him if they bring it back.
Well, he would be Jefferson Twilight, and then you get another guy to play Blackula. I mean, they tried doing that with Vampire in Brooklyn, but they didn't capture the spirit of Blackula. So, but how was the Wolfman, anyway? Was it good?
Wolfman was... It was. I can't complain about it. I can complain about it. It was pretty decent. It had great gore, great kills. Whenever the Wolfman was on the screen, the movie was like completely amped up and awesome. The first half, though, kind of really, when the Wolfman wasn't on screen, it kind of dragged.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the regular, there wasn't much of a storyline going on, really.
Right.
And then the second half picked up and shit. When Benicio del Toro, they lock him in an insane asylum. That's when shit started getting interesting. And then the effects were really damn good. The gore is really, really impressive. I mean, that fucking Wolfman's ripping the fuck out of people. And it looked just like the classic Wolfman 2 from the old Universal film. Just like an updated, modern, more menacing and nasty version.
Right.
Now, this one doesn't have a shirt tucked in at all.
he doesn't take his sweet time transforming either. Where he's just sitting there on the chair and just, you know... That's what, when John Landis did American Werewolf in London, and it's like, that was the main reason for the whole transformation scene. How was the transformation scenes in this one? Were they as good as Werewolf in London?
Oh, please Werewolf tell me in London. I love it. I love Werewolf in London because shit was practical. It was all done with makeup.
Please tell me it was at least better than American Werewolf in Paris.
Oh, come on. American Werewolf in Paris is fucking the Jar Jar Binks of werewolf movies. That seems a piece
even
of
more
shit.
Than, what was it, like, it was some kind of movie, had chocolate in the title, and it was like...
Blood and Chocolate?
That's it, yes.
I've never seen the trailer for that.
I saw the trailer for that.
Oh,
that was
God.
That was as bad as the Gary Oldman dwarf movie.
When we saw the trailer for Blood and Chocolate, me and my wife looked at each other, and we just started busting up laughing. At the end, when they say the title, Blood and Chocolate, we just, like, died, dude. We were laughing so fucking hard.
Yes. I have to say, I think that even the New Moon may have had better werewolf scenes than
possibly.
Giant CGI werewolves. Huge wolves, but anyway, going back to the transformations, how were they in the Wolfman?
You know, it was CG for the it was a lot mainly CG, but it wasn't like they didn't focus on the transformations that much, so it was kind of like there was lots of shadows and shit too, so you couldn't really see stuff as clearly that clearly. So it was still done really fucking good, and it looked pretty impressive. So I got to say the effects were really solid in that film. I can't complain too much about the effects and shit. Just the story was kind of a bland. Especially the first half.
Right. Well, I mean, I had heard there were a lot of production problems with the movie.
Oh, yeah,
there was a
shitload of problems with that.
So, I mean, if it sounds like the movie is decent, especially because there's nothing else out there going on right now.
Yeah, it's the first film I saw this year.
Yeah.
I wanted to see Daybreakers, but I just never got around to it.
I heard it was okay.
Yeah.
So you might as well give that a rental.
Yeah, that'll be a rental, definitely.
But I know, speaking next week, that finally something good's coming out, Shutter Island.
Shutter fucking Island.
Did you ever read the book?
No, I have no idea what the plot is, what the story is. I mean... Other than what I've seen from the trailers, I have no idea. I heard one of the trailers kind of gave away the ending, but I don't know what they're talking about, so that's fine with me. I'm going to go into that film not knowing a damn thing about it. That's what I like.
I've read the book, and it's pretty good. It's like an airport read. It's good.
Yeah.
So I look forward to this just because I already know the ending. So I look forward to the, how's it going to play? Plus... it's Scorsese.
Exactly.
Although I'm not crazy about having to see DiCaprio again because I wish he'd get someone else in there, but I can't complain.
It's his new DiCaprio is his new De Niro.
Maybe, but he keeps using them in every movie.
Yeah,
I don't even.
He's using them in everything.
Yeah. I mean, there was supposedly at some point he was going to do like a Teddy Roosevelt movie and DiCaprio was to play him. I mean, that, you know.
Yeah, that's stretching it a little, but.
You know, I think that I'd read like TR is like a kind of was a short guy. It was actually kind of like he's voiced by like Richard Dreyfuss in like any like Dreyfuss. History Channel documentary. And then there was like this TV movie like back in the late 90s with Tom Berenger. And the guy was good in it, actually. He was really good. But, nice. You know, I don't know if they'll take that off, but, you know, get that going. But, you know, it's Scorsese working again, and, you know, I look forward to it. Yeah.
Well, so far his collaborations with DiCaprio have been pretty solid. I love Gangs of New York. I love The Aviator. The Departed was great, and so
For me, I wasn't all that crazy about The Departed. I just thought, it was kind of, you know, it was a little wearing on me a little bit. I thought it ran a bit too long. I like The Aviator a lot, just because, that to me, that history is so fascinating.
Oh, yeah, Howard Hughes is really fucking interesting.
Yes,
yeah.
And, so The Departed wasn't so much. Although I loved it, you know, the music in The Departed was great.
Oh,
but
yeah, yeah.
I just thought...
I love fucking Nicholson, dude. He was so fucking batshit insane.
Yeah, not all, him and that, he was playing basically Nicholson... You know, dialed up all to 11.
Oh, yeah.
So you had that in About Schmidt, which I've never seen only because I don't want to see Kathy Bates nude.
About Schmidt is, it's fucking good. I have that in, fap all day to Kathy Bates nude, dude.
Do you avert your eyes or do you, like,
oh, no, no.
Try to, like, you know, brace yourself?
She jumped into that spa naked and I was just like, I fist pumped in the air, dude. I was just like, fuck yeah!
Oh, God. I hope you had watched some Portman related.
Oh, Portman.
Cure yourself.
I think my wife gets tired of me talking about Portman because...
Do you have a plan in place in case you ever see, you know, if Portman does show up, do you have an official plan?
I sure do.
Or like, Portman suddenly walks up to you, your pants are immediately going to drop, and you're going to hear celestial music
no,
coming?
No, I'm just going to fucking... I see her, I come across her, I'm just dropping down to one knee and asking her to marry me. That's just...
I just figured
it's
either...
It's going to happen.
I figure if...
It.
You know, if it actually were to happen, it wouldn't actually be the way you'd think of, like, suddenly your pants... Like I said, pants are going to drop... You know, the cock is out, primed and ready.
You know,
it's DEFCON 5, ready to go.
I'm not sure I should try to scare her away that quickly.
Yes.
We should get married before I whip out my cock.
Really? You're not going to want to test the merch? I mean, Jude Law and Clive Owen both got that in Closer. So.
Oh, Closer. I swear to God, I nearly lost control of myself a few times while watching that film.
And the funny thing is, there were nude scenes filmed, but Mike Nichols did not include them.
Yeah, if I ever come across Mike Nichols in real life, I will fucking... cock punching. Just one swift punch to the cock. You fucking dick.
I think that footage was destroyed too, so
yeah.
It doesn't even exist. It's a total shame. Total shame. But
rip his heart out like fucking Mola Ram, dude.
I'm sure at some point there'll be a nude scene with her in it, you know. And it's good to see that there's a stable of actresses, classy actresses, great actresses that are willing to do nudity.
Yeah,
and
I'm fucking all for that.
Julianne Moore.
Dude, fucking what was she painting naked in The Big Lebowski? That was awesome.
And then, I'm trying to remember if she was nude in Boogie Nights. I can't seem to
remember. What's her name? Roller Girl.
Yeah, Heather Graham.
Heather Graham skating around naked, and that was just like, oh, yeah.
Then, well, you got to see some of that again in the Hangover. So.
Yeah. Oh, The Hangover. That was a fun film.
That was good. It was.
I know a lot of people complaining that it doesn't hold up on the second time. I have it. I haven't watched it a second time, so all I got to say is that the first viewing in the theaters was fucking hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
And the end photos fucking killed us.
Yeah, no, that was the best part. And, I haven't seen the, I saw it in the theater, but I haven't had the desire to really own it. So,
yeah.
But, it's not like a one-and-done film. Like, I knew, like, Borat, I knew that was a one-and-done film. There's no reason for me to see this again, because I know it's not going to be as funny. And then when I saw Bruno, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a bit too much, so... Although it featured Harrison Ford's best work in a decade.
It was Harrison Ford's fucking best work in
ages. Oh, God, what a shame.
Ages, dude.
What happened? At least Nicolas Cage is, you know, who can you say is pissing away their goodwill more, Nicolas Cage or Harrison Ford at this point?
Yeah, dude, I'll tell you this. Cage seems to have a slight comeback on his hands here. I didn't see Bad Lieutenant, but I heard that he's pretty batshit insane in there. And from what I've seen at Comic-Con of Kick-Ass... Mm-hmm. He's going to be fucking solid in that film as well.
Perhaps.
So,
I
got to say that the trailers for Kick-Ass have been completely underwhelming so far, but what I saw at Comic-Con is looked really fucking great.
Well, they showed some footage of him with the girl practicing in like an aqueduct or something like that. It was the Flood Control Channel.
Mm-hmm.
I could say, you know, is Kick-Ass going to be good? Perhaps. I never read the comic. I'm not a Mark Millar fan, so...
Never read the comics either.
But it could be good. I'll wait for other reviews to hear what's...
It is fucking violent and bloody and... Mm-hmm.
And the little girl says cunt a lot from what I've been told.
Yeah, but the trailers make it sound so forced and so, like, fucking,
Well, I
mean, it worked so much better in, like, a full clip than the trailers are right. portraying it.
Hopefully it'll be better than Sex Drive. So, I tried watching that movie. I was like, God damn it, this movie blows. But speaking of other movies, I know with the new Bev, the fantastic rep house we have over here, they got coming up also next week a movie called Razorback. Now, I don't know if you ever saw a documentary called Not Quite Hollywood. This is a documentary about Aussie exploitation movies. And all it was is basically back in the 70s, the Aussies, basically due to changes in tax law, all these like grindhouse and exploitation movies just showed up, loaded with all wall-to-wall nudity, female nudity, awesome. If you're into that, you know, just crazy-ass action. So they have this movie called Razorback, and it's basically Jaws with a giant wild boar.
Awesome.
That's all it is.
That's all you need, dude.
And I'm not sure if it's... I think it may be directed by the guy who did Highlander. I'm not sure. I think it is. I'd have to check that, so you can't quote me on that. But,
I will not quote you on that, then.
Yes, exactly. But and speaking of other new stuff going on, you know, I know Rob, once again, is not crazy about it. I enjoy the hell out of it. Bioshock 2 showed up this week. I have it. I've been playing it all somewhat this week, and it's good. It's an extension of the first game. Mm-hmm.
I played the demo on the first one, but never actually picked it up.
Because, I like the first one. I know once again Rob talked about, you know, it being, you know, basically the, you know, the idea overrated.
He says it's overrated.
Russ on the board said it best. I mean, it's basically the mainstream media ran with it because they're not gamers, and the art direction and atmosphere are amazing. And I mean, yeah, it's a basic shooter, but for a guy like me who's very much a casual gamer and isn't spending all of his time, this is great. I mean, I got the game right now on easy. I'm kicking ass, so I'm moving through. And, you know, in this one, it's a lot easier to take down a Big Daddy, you know, one of those giant scuba suit things. It's, you know, and...
They have awesome toys NECA put out of the fucking Big Daddy and shit, too, if you ever see those.
I haven't finished the game. I haven't finished Bioshock 2 yet, but I hope they're not going to reveal what those daddies look like without the helmet on. I just hope they don't do that, because I think that's going to ruin it. You're basically going to have what happened at the end of Trick or Treat when they took the sack off Sam Hain.
Trick or Treat, it seems like people who saw that thing in theaters really enjoyed it. People who see that movie at home absolutely fucking hate it.
Yeah, for me, I had heard about the movie through Chud.
Yeah, me too.
And it had been championed last year. Yeah, and I saw a screening of it at the New Bev because they were doing basically like a one-night screening, and I got a free DVD of it. To me, I never thought it was like overly hyped. I just knew Warner Brothers had been sitting on a movie for 2 years.
Yeah.
It's about Halloween. Why don't they just show it? Now, I know people have been talking about it being kind of weak, and it's kind of odd because it's not all that violent, but it's not really for kids because there's some tits in there. Mm-hmm. And but to me, that's like, you know, that's a good 80s movie right there.
Yeah, you know? I mean, we had a good time seeing it at Comic-Con. People seem to enjoy it and stuff. We had a good time with it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not going to say the film was absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
It was good. I mean, it could have easily been released. I don't know. I mean, it was weird,
especially
a different type of film.
Well, the only reason I remember from what I had heard on Shed was the fact that Warner Brothers was scared shitless of the Saw movies. That's it.
The Saw movies.
You know, still that shit keeps coming out. I don't know if I never saw any of them. Because I'm not into gore. I'm not into horror.
I have watched the first three Saws, and I said after Saw 3 that I'm done, and I have not gone back since.
Yeah, and then I think they're up to 7 now or some shit.
Yeah,
that's
just ridiculous.
Once again, the youth of America. I mean, I'm not a horror guy, so I never really followed never seen, you know, any Nightmare on Elm Street or Jason movies. I know, once again, Rob is probably recoiling, once again accusing me of being
a
robot.
Recoiling in horror.
Yes.
Oh, man, I was not allowed to watch those films at all when I was a kid, so, I mean, when I got old enough, I became a huge horror fanatic. I got, you know, all the Fridays, all the Nightmares, the Halloweens, the Hellraisers.
Now, out of Halloween, what do you think of Halloween 3? The infamous Shamrock one.
Season of the Witch?
Yes.
Oh, man, I love the song that they play for the commercial.
Isn't it supposed to be like London Bridge is Falling Down or something like that? I never played the YouTube video of it because I'm like, this could be too freaky for me. So
that's like masks that melt little kids' faces?
Into bugs.
Holy jeez.
And the funny thing is, all it is, it's just like, it's a giant pumpkin head mask.
Yeah.
You'd be like freaked out just by that alone.
And
like,
things don't turn out. And the movie ends on a very bad note, too. I mean, They fucking, the corporation, the Shamrock Corporation, gets away with it at the end. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, I know.
But they get away with it at Halloween 3. So that movie was dark and disturbing and shit, but
had nothing.
Failed.
Although probably still better than Rob Zombie's Halloweens.
I watched the first one and got fucking angry and never saw the second one.
The movie that started the infamous rating of Fuck You Out of 10.
Fuck You Out of 10.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know if it would be worth a midnight showing. Speaking of midnight showings, I just saw Broken Arrow. That's worthy of a midnight showing. That movie is a reunion of Pump Up the Volume. And Travolta is constantly talking through his teeth the entire time.
Oh, Travolta. What happened to that guy?
I don't think he was ever with it. I think we know him from Saturday Night Fever, and then there's Grease.
Look Who's Talking. Don't forget the Look Who's Talking trilogy.
IFC just did a piece on Travolta, so it's like he has the most exaggerated way of smoking. It's ridiculous.
Smoking?
Yeah. It's like this is an audio medium, so he'd be like doing the two finger thing, and he'd be like, it pretty much, I'd call it the gayest way of smoking I've ever seen in my life. And I go to WeHo on a semi regular basis, Gaytown, USA, and I've never seen anyone that flamboyant, which now leads me to believe, much like my father, the guy's a giant queer. So, as I've exemplified by the fact he is sucking face with Kirk Douglas, Douglas is fighting for his life.
Poor old Kirk Douglas, he has a stroke and everything. He can't fight back.
Well, he's up there, but it's only a matter of time, unfortunately. But I never saw his movies, and I know, but going back to Bioshock 2, I enjoy the hell out of it. If you like the first one, you like this one. I just think, it's good all around gaming.
Have you tried the multiplayer?
I haven't done the multiplayer. I'm not a huge fan of multiplayer, and this is why I haven't bought Modern Warfare 2, is just because, and to lay a little bit of backstory, I once had a brief Counter-Strike phase in high school. For me, because I'm not much of a gamer, and which is the complete opposite of how I used to be when I was a little kid. In fact, I remember I was in a video game contest where I won first prize. Now, granted, no one showed up.
Nobody showed up. So you were playing the games by yourself?
It was default, basically. I had a trophy, and I won $250.
What did you have to play? I mean,
The qualifier was Super Mario Kart, and as a prize, you would get the soundtrack to Super Mario Brothers on cassette tape.
Oh, my God.
And then the second part was Street Fighter you'd either get Star Fox or you get the trophy. Well, all I remember was at the day of the main competition, we were playing. I was just the only guy there playing Street Fighter, and then some kid just shows up. So originally the idea was that we were going to fight each other, and then my dad said, and clearly I wasn't winning, why don't we just have them like fight against the computer, and we'll just figure out who has the largest score at the end of the game, this time. It's like, oh, that's a good idea. And that's how I won the $250.
Your dad cheated for you.
He didn't cheat. He just made it better for me. Because I can't do fighting games all that well. I mean, way back when, it was all about, in the arcades, it was shooting games, Lethal Enforcers.
Back
in the day when you could shoot a civilian and not get penalized, I remember this one time, this guy just shot every civilian on screen. And I was laughing my ass off watching this. And then driving games. There was, Crazy Taxi, always great.
Crazy Taxi, Cruisin' USA.
Cruisin' USA, although I like Crazy Taxi more. I mean, I think it's the only way now I could, I can deal with the offspring. So I love driving his Gus, the big old tank cab, and dealing with all the product placement.
I'm still waiting for him to put out a new Twisted Metal game, dude.
Oh, yeah, Twisted Metal. I played that when, because I didn't have a PlayStation. Had my parents, because I wanted an N64. Had I gone with a PlayStation, I would still be, because there was about a period of about 10 years where I did not play video games. I just fell out of it. And I think because I got an N64, I think had I gotten a PlayStation,
I made a few
things would have been a lot different.
I never had a PlayStation. I used to play with my buddies, but I went from the NES, and I didn't get the Super Nintendo. I got the Genesis.
Oh, I had the Genesis and the Super Nintendo.
Yeah, I wish I would have gotten the Super Nintendo, but I had Genesis because Mortal Kombat, that was why.
Oh, yes.
And then I went from that to the Nintendo 64.
What a waste.
And then I went to the GameCube. And then now I have all three systems.
Yeah. I remember when my roommate in college had a GameCube, and he was really into video games. I remember when RE4 came out, we were just sat there for 3 days awesome. Watching, how the story played. That game was the best, Resident Evil.
Oh, easily.
I know it changed the whole, setup of the game.
Yeah, but changed it all for the better.
In my view, it did. I mean, in the regular horror sense, I mean RE2, I mean that you would say is the best one, but RE4, made it, I think, a lot better for everybody. It's just a different game. It's just a different setup. We know that.
Really?
But to me, game-wise, awesome. It's amazing. Now, once again, because there's so many Resident Evils, they kind of got bogged down in their own continuity. It's like Metal Gear, which I never played, but...
You have never been too much into the Metal Gear.
I watched a retrospective on the whole Metal Gear series, and I'm like, oh my Christ, I need a nap. But then, like, it's just... I still don't understand the hate against Raiden, but, you know, maybe it's because, you know, it's that whole Japanese, you know, the guys who like look like girls and... Well, never mind. I'm not going to go down my own personal road on that. But Cyber Raid, I don't know. I mean, even though that was a really weird sword fight with all that white blood, I think, going around.
Well, then.
Yeah, I know. It was some weird... It's weird shit going on in Metal Gear Solid 4, I can say. But I know the only other bit of video game news to me, anyway, is that there's another Fable coming out. I lost it after Fable 2. I mean,
I played the first one for a little bit and then just got bored of it, dude. Never even tried the second one.
Yeah, don't bother with the second one. As I said in my voicemail, it's barely a game. It's very, very easy. Now, the problem that I've had with Fable, I mean, you know, for me, it's not difficult. For me, I don't like a game that's being ball-shatteringly hard. See, and that was like something that was it back in the day. Ridiculous how it was.
Yeah.
And there's no reason for that kind of behavior, because I want to enjoy the game. I don't want to get pissed off trying to play the
fucking
game.
Fucking, like, playing Mega Man and Battletoads and shit.
Well, yeah. And speaking of that, there's a very...
punch people.
Oh, yeah. There was an interesting thing I was watching on some guy. It was something called Until We Win. You remember that video game company, LJN, with all those shitty movie games?
Fucking LJN, dude.
Here's the thing about that. Now, first off, notice how all those movies were, like, Universal movies? It's because the studio had owned that company. But... according to this guy from Until We Win, which is over on that guy with the glasses, many of those games, including Who Framed Roger Rabbit,
I have that,
was made by Rare. LJN was only the publisher of that. So Rare made also shitty games, if you can believe it. Which,
I can believe it.
Yeah. So they're not. It wasn't, because apparently LJN was only the publisher, not necessarily the developer. And you had that going on back in the day. Like great example is like with the original Ninja Turtles game, you had Ultra. That was Konami. Yeah. Because for whatever reason, way back when, Nintendo was really strict about how many games you could release per publisher. They would create shell companies, and they could, you know, put out more stuff. So that it was crazy to come across something like that. But going back to Fable 3, you know, and it's like, I've heard the game's got loaded with microtransactions where you got to, like, pay for little things, like the hell of this shit. And then the other thing is, like, because I remember this from the first Fable where, like, your character will change, which is, like, really cool. Every time I've booted up Fable... my character never will always revert back to normal. He'll just be older. He'll never stay the fucked up way with the lizard eyes that I want him to be. It'll just de-back.
Yeah, like a V character in Fable?
A V character? Yeah, I don't know.
But he had lizard eyes?
Yeah, no. Well, yeah, it had the cool lizard eyes going on. His skin was getting all scaly. It was awesome. But it would just devolve back into just being the regular guy, just kind of scarred up. And I was like, I never could understand why... It couldn't stay like that, because like I never went after like the big demon looking guy, because I didn't know how you get that character. You basically have to commit mass murder on a huge scale. I know it's redundant, but to even get near that, because when I was playing Fable 2,
sounds like fun.
It's just really boring. It's very easy to get through. It's not really a game.
And that sucks.
You know, I mean,
I've been looking for some good RPGs to play, and I picked up Dragon Age. And
how'd that work out?
Oh, I played about 20 minutes of it. I'm going to go back to it eventually, but then I just got fucking Borderlands just took away all my time, and Modern Warfare 2 took away all my time, so I'm having a blast with those right now. And
yeah, I have Borderlands, but I haven't been playing it much. I really wanted to play BioShock 2, and then I think there's that new Red Dead Redemption coming out, the Western.
Yeah.
Oh, I think that could be pretty sweet. But
I never played the first one, so...
I played Gun. That was a good Western, you know, like a Grand Theft Auto in the West. I mean... So I think that'll be some good stuff. But, yeah, there haven't been really... You know, really, to me, the best RPG... You know, did you ever play Earthbound? That was the best.
I never did play Earthbound.
Oh my God.
I never did.
Oh, God.
Did they ever put that shit on the Wii?
It's on Virtual Console right now.
I should probably download that sometime, since I haven't turned my Wii on in fucking ages.
You gotta dust that shit off. No one has.
Exactly.
I mean,
I know.
The only other reason for the Wii is that I would be curious about No More Heroes, because I know you had a GameCube.
Yes.
Did you ever try playing Killer 7?
After the GameCube was pretty much dead, I went to Target, and I was just looking around the game section, and they had fucking Killer 7 at Target for $3.
Really?
Dude. $3. So I just went like, oh, well, I'm buying this.
Yeah.
And the game is so fucking weird.
It is.
It's fun. I liked it.
Makes no goddamn sense.
It was so weird. It was
very
weird
Japanese.
Shit. Very Japanese. You press A, just hold the A button down to move.
It yeah, you're really on it. Weird. See, the thing about Killer 7, because No More Heroes is based on the same publisher, yeah. Travis Touchdown and all that. I was like thinking if I was ever cosplaying at a video game convention, you know, maybe I could try and pull that shit off. I don't know. But until I discovered other people were already doing it. It's because my friend up in Olympia, you know, went as like one of the Phoenix Wright characters. Oh. And but Killer 7, I remember this because my roommate had that game and he loved it. It's just you're on a rail. It's yeah. kind of like a rail shooter, mm-hmm. but it's just the weirdest so visuals weird. And the story is really fucked up and has these weird flash cutscenes and
oh yeah, it's violent, really violent.
Very violent.
You kill creatures and they spout blood all over the place yeah. and shit.
And I know one of the you switch out from like one of the seven characters and like one of the characters is like a girl and clearly slashed
yeah.
her wrists and
yeah, yeah.
just weird as
but
shit.
For fucking $3, dude, that's probably like the best gaming value I've ever had in my entire life.
And the final boss is a total cakewalk. I saw YouTube footage of this. It's just
I never finished it.
Yeah, I don't know anyone.
I'm bad at finishing games, dude.
Yeah, same here. I'm not gonna wait. You know, I have so much time. I'm not gonna try and sit and beat something if it's not worth it. I mean, once again, that's why I play my stuff on easy. There is no reason for me to try, because I'm not going to try and score every achievement, to try and play the fucking thing out hard. Yeah. It's ridiculous. I do not have the time, nor the wherewithal, to really do shit like that. I got other things to do, and to me it's not worth it.
There's just not enough time in the world.
Well, not even that. I just can't sit down that long to even try. I mean, I tried even doing that with the first Bioshock, and it's just too much work.
Yeah.
So I can't get the so-called big brass balls achievement, where like you have to play it on hard, and you don't die. I'm like, the hell with this crap.
Oh, fuck that.
Yeah. So, but hopefully, you know, after Bioshock 2, I'll go back to Borderlands. Because, I mean, I got GTA 4, barely played that thing. And
God, but that lasted for about a week. We fucking all played that. We were on the fucking multiplayer and shit. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, done. We were just all done at once.
Yeah.
That shit was hilarious.
Yeah, no, I heard about that because I was actually listening to the old podcast episodes. And yeah, I remember talking about it.
I'm not like Rob, though. I don't sell my games. So I still have pretty much every game that I've purchased.
Yeah, I've never sold a game either.
Just in case I feel like going back to them.
Right, I've never sold a game either, and just because I know you're not going to get any money for it.
Yeah, you don't get much.
Yeah, I mean, it's like returning your college textbooks. So yeah. It's to me, it's not worth it. But, hell, I mean, I have the Sega Genesis collection for the 360. I've barely touched that thing. And that thing, you can, like, scoop up achievements like no one's business.
I have, for the GameCube, I got a Mega Man collection and a Sonic collection.
Did you get Mega Man 9, or?
No. I mean, the Mega Man games are never, they've never been my favorite games. They're mm-hmm. just so fucking hard. It drives me nuts. I just don't have the patience for that shit nowadays. Yeah.
I liked Mega Man X, but I never beat that game. But yeah. That was a cool one, and but I never played any more of the X games. I never beat a Mega Man game. I remember a friend of mine on my block used to beat Mega Man 3 all the time. So we'd always watch the ending, and you know, I was like, oh, how cool, and all that. But yeah, going back to Fable 3, total, as I would say to my good friend Randall Clown Shoes, you know, it's at this point, you know, Peter Molyneux can say whatever he wants, but
nobody's listening anymore.
It's pointless. It really is. I know. Besides, I know most people are probably jizzing over the new Final Fantasy game coming out, but
never been missed into those either, dude.
Yeah, neither did I. I mean, like I said, only RPGs I ever followed were Earthbound, which is an amazing. You know, I really wish someone would develop another RPG set in the modern day. That game cool. was amazing.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is that there's a sequel called Mother 3, mm-hmm. which you have to get online. Mm. You can get, you know, basically download the ROM. I haven't really touched it much, but you know, it's Earthbound was amazing. And then the other game, obviously, and then being Super Mario RPG Legend of the Seven Stars.
Is that the original one? Me and my for the Super Nintendo.
Yeah, yeah. You can also get that on Virtual Console.
Oh yeah, me and my buddy rented that one weekend, and we played all weekend straight until we beat it. It was awesome.
Yeah. It's such a great game. And
that shit was fun.
The last, you know, good game for the Super Nintendo. Hell of a way to go out. And, you know, they even have that cool little Final Fantasy thing they had in there with, like, if you get the certain eye object, you can go through this door and fight some huge boss from Final Fantasy. But, yeah, I never followed Final Fantasy. And and then there are all those JRPGs out there.
Yeah, I played some Phantasy Star as a kid.
Yeah, my roommate played Phantasy
Sword
Star
of Vermillion on the Genesis. I loved that game.
Did you play Chrysalis? No.
No.
Yeah.
I loved playing some RPGs, but I just never got into like the major ones, like fucking Final Fantasy.
Or Dragon Warrior with the slimes and all that nonsense.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the only thing I know about Final Fantasy is the Moogle.
The Moogle?
Moog, which is their, like, it's a fantasy. Oh, that. Oh,
all I know is that the Advent Children film fucking sucked.
Oh, well, both Final Fantasy and movies I heard sucked.
Spirits Within fucking sucked.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of those things about, like, you know, kind of, you know, going to my thing, because that would actually be something I want to talk about in relation to anime. But, yeah, a Moogle is, like, some, like, it's, once again, I know the RPG nerds are probably foaming at the mouth right now, but a Moogle is, like, this mythical creature. It's a white, once again, it's a Japanese thing. It's white with, like, little purple wings, and it has, like, it's kind of like, it has, like, a cat head, and it has, like, a little thing. It's kind of like a... It's kind of like Hello Kitty in this respect, but then it has like a little sprong poking out of the top, and has a little ball on the top.
We need to get a Photoshop picture of you riding a Moogle, dude.
You can't because they're not that big. I mean, it's not like a chocobo. A Moogle is like maybe, I'd have to, once again, this was an audio medium, but it may be like maybe 2-3 feet high. So I'd crush the thing.
It'd still be hilarious.
And then they have like their own language, and it's like Koopo, and you know, they would say that always, Koopo. I remember that in elementary school. There would be like these... You know, these other guys would be hanging around because we do like our own like D&D adventures, and like we would talk about the Moogle, and you know, same thing in Earthbound, they had a character named Mr. Saturn, and it was the same thing. It was like a flesh colored creature. I'm not referring to my cock.
I only know about Earthbound and Mr. Saturn from the Smash Brothers series.
Yeah, so you know, and it's got the similar thing. Got one hair with a bow attached, and it's got a big nose, and it, you know,
he was definitely Jewish.
Yes, very Jewish.
Definitely Jewish.
Yes. Had its own language, and
Yiddish.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I don't remember Yiddish saying Dakota or boing after every word, but it wouldn't surprise me because I never studied the stuff. But
my dad can speak it. I cannot.
Yeah, neither. You know, my parents. You know, we were very non secular. I don't know if did you keep kosher or?
Oh God, no. We just, you know, we did the fucking holidays and shit, dude, and stuff. But as for kosher, no, we all fucking everybody in my house loved bacon, dude. We just sucked down. Bacon.
Yeah, I used to be able to eat bacon myself, and pepperoni, like pepperoni and jalapeno pizza was the best.
Oh, pepperoni and man, that shit's great.
Yeah, unfortunately, due to obvious, you can figure out what happens when you eat something like that. I can no longer deal with that kind of grief, so yeah. I don't want to have the invasion of Normandy going on in the John.
Fucking jalapenos kill me nowadays.
Yeah, I know. I don't know what happened. I mean, you know, you kind of think of it, hey, it's, you know, good for your health and all that, but once again, you kind of, you know, you lose out, so... You know, that's just the way it is. But going back to anime, because you mentioned about Advent Children,
and this is the
thing I have about anime, is just the fact that, I mean, most of this stuff looks so beautiful. I mean, now, I know I'm going to piss some people off, because, like, I am not the biggest fan of Miyazaki. I tried watching some of his stuff. I haven't watched all of his films. I liked Princess Mononoke, but I tried watching Spirited Away. Visually beautiful, I could not get through with it.
Oh, man, I love Miyazaki films. I love...
You didn't try watching Ponyo, did you?
I haven't seen Ponyo.
Because that's meant for 5-year-olds.
Yeah, I haven't seen Ponyo, but I mean, I've seen fucking, like, Kiki's Delivery Service and My Neighbor Totoro and shit, dude. And
did you see Pocoroso or something like that?
No, I haven't seen Pocoroso. I've seen Castle in the Sky and...
Howl's Moving Castle.
Yeah. Howl's Moving Castle, that's the one. And I saw that, and I saw... And I have Princess Mononoke, and I have Spirited Away. I seriously dig those. They're so different. So bizarre and...
Yeah. I mean, once again, they're visually beautiful. I know he's a good storyteller. I just, for the life of me, I don't know if maybe it's just because I got the ADD running through me. I cannot. It's just not appealing to me. I mean, I liked Princess Mononoke. I remember when it came out. I remember watching it on tape.
Yeah.
And I was blown away by it. But I tried watching Spirited Away. I could not get through it. And I mean, there are other anime films I've seen. I mean, I saw Akira. You still can't tell me what the ending means.
Nobody knows about it.
And I'm not going to read a 39 volume manga either. Or try to get through it, but it's I just remember my biggest, you know, falling out with anime was when I once tried to watch Ghost in the Shell 2. Oh, I don't ever watch that movie. That will piss you off so bad.
Never saw the second one.
First one is good.
Yeah, that's the first.
There's the one scene I always loved in the first one is the scene where the I don't know her name, but that lead character like gets on the tank and she's trying to like break the hatch. So she's basically like straining herself, and she strains so hard she breaks her own suit.
Yeah.
That was nuts. And then I remember seeing a Vampire Hunter T: Bloodlust.
I have both the Vampire Hunter D movies.
I got to check out. Got to get Bloodlust. I saw that on a, you know, I was at like some fraternity college thing. A friend of mine was DJing at, and they had that. They were playing on a projector. That movie was weird, but damn good.
Yeah, liked it. I like he's freaking. He's got like a little hand mouth thing.
I remember talking to this one guy who ran into the guy who did the voice of the hand demon, and he said the guy who did the hand demon said best hand job I ever did.
Nailed it.
But, yeah, there hasn't been too much, you know, anime, visually stunning, but most of the time, the story sucks so bad.
Japanese, their stories are so fucking bizarre.
It's either that they're very bizarre, or it's been done so many times before, they're just not good.
Yeah, it's just
so, you know,
weird shit.
It's not worth, you know, really getting through. Once again, it's really weird shit. I could tell
it
you,
is.
I once saw, and I can attest to this, there is a, how do I even phrase this? It was basically like a gay rom-com anime. I am not joking. It was set at an all-boys school. Once again,
wow.
I'm not talking. It's not a porno, not to my knowledge, at least. But it was, you know, basically, you know, all the guys in the boarding school going after this new kid, and it was like, oh god, it was so terrible, and it was totally ridiculous. Believe me, and it's not dubbed. It's only subtitled. So most of the time for me with anime. I'm not a subtitle Nazi, because unlike animation, you know, dubbing works fine. Now, dubbing a live action movie is just terrible. You don't do that.
The Miyazaki films, especially, they do such a good job with the fucking dubbing on those. They put a lot of effort into them.
Yeah.
So.
Or even like a Cowboy Bebop, great example where I think the dubbing is great. Great voice work. You know, see, I this only brings me back to this one time where I tried to do this college. There was an anime club in college. I tried to join, but I later was asked to leave. So
you got kicked out of an anime club?
I was kind of MST-ing some of the animes with this one guy who was just screwing around.
Oh, shit.
Because there was like this one show called Excel Saga, which is basically like the Family Guy of anime, because it would parody other anime genres. And the ending, the last episode of that is really fucking weird. Now, this was back in 2002, so we were just loading all this stuff off Kazaa. But, yeah, I was asked to leave, and... you know, I realized that, you know, I could see where I'm not wanted. So
no anime clothes for the Hawken.
Yes.
How sad.
I have never gone to an anime convention. You know, to me, there's and I've seen some good stuff. I mean, I saw the entire Death Note series.
A lot of talking.
You have seen them, or
I read a lot of the manga.
Yeah, the anime is very good. It's takes a while, but it's that last episode, because you know what'll happen. Is an earned payoff in my view, but it can be very, very talky at times.
Yeah.
But don't bother trying to watch live action movies. Forget it. I just think, you know, anime works when it works. It works because it's animation. That's why I never want to see a live action Akira movie. It just cannot be done.
Wasn't DiCaprio attached to that shit?
He was. I think it was also at the time there was going to be like a live action Batman Beyond movie. That would have been pretty good. And I'm not talking about the shitty movie.
As long as they fucking get Clint Eastwood to play fucking old Batman, old Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, right. Well, they can't now. Clint Eastwood would be too old. You know, it's
play old Bruce Wayne.
Really old Bruce Wayne.
Really, yeah, fucking Bruce Wayne was really old.
He was like in his like 70s, I think, in the Batman Beyond. But then they showed a JLA cartoon. I saw this on YouTube where they had gone even further, and he was still alive. He just looked even worse. He was like in his 90s,
he's
and
like
he would
all
not
bald
die.
And shit.
Well, he was going bald in the set in the yeah. when he was 70, and then he's like he's really bald and when he's 90. And you know, Terry McGinnis is like some dude in his 30s, and it's even hard to imagine that show is like, you know, well over, it's like nearly 15 years old, that show, Batman Beyond. It was all right. I mean, last season got weird, but I think my personal favorite episode of that show, and I don't know if you know, remember this, was the episode, I remember because Michael McKean did the voice, and he played this guy, I think it was a show called Inside Peek. He played this television, this like tabloid journalist, and he was like, he basically had this suit that would made him invisible. Well, at the end, like something got fucked up, and he was so invisible, he started falling, and it's like he's gonna keep falling until he hits the Earth's core. And he's going crazy as he's sinking through. I'm like, oh Jesus! So you know, that was some really freaky shit.
I do not recall that episode.
Very good episode. Maybe you could find it on YouTube. Hopefully, I never bothered buying the other sets of Batman Beyond. I have the first season where Mr. Sulu is playing the bad guy to oh my yes, and he's the bad guy. I think he's the henchman to Derek Powers.
Nice.
But Batman Beyond was all right. I gotta hand it to him. You know?
I enjoyed it.
I mean, the interesting thing about that show was at least that they were doing it while Bruce Timm was doing Superman and Batman the Animated Series. So really, Batman Beyond was like a go-between.
Yeah,
it really was. And I miss
those. They have some good series though. It's the Batman, Superman, and the Justice League.
Yeah,
those were pretty fucking good.
Yeah, I didn't follow the Justice League show. I think
Justice League was fucking fantastic.
Really?
Yeah,
I never really got into it. I liked the one show I really liked was Mega's XLR, and I don't know why that show ain't on DVD. That show was so great. Basically, it could be, you know, it featured giant robots, dudes from New Jersey, a fat guy as the hero and his skinny rat looking friend, and they would, and Bruce Campbell showed up in one episode as like a guest star, and it was a good show.
Oh shit!
Had a good theme song, and it was kind of like Voltron in that way. Yeah. But I never watched Voltron, so.
Oh, you never watched Voltron.
Never saw Robotech. I unfortunately saw Samurai Pizza Cats. Thank you, Channel 13. I wanted to pull, as I've said before, pull an Elvis on my TV, but. I mean, that was like right after a couple of years. I only remember this because I was at Target the other day. They got Mighty Morphin Power Rangers T-shirts. Now I think you would have been a little bit older for when that show hit.
I watched,
because you must have been like 14 at the time.
Yeah, I watched it like the first few episodes and shit, and I was just like, "Oh my god, this is fucking bizarre shit, dude."
Yeah, when I saw it, I loved the first season, but then when my siblings got into it, I'm like, "Well, that's the end of that."
That's it.
And then we used to like derive, we used to make fun of it, and like now, once again, because of nostalgia, people are like coming back to it. It's like, it's really weird.
Yeah, people are coming back to
and
nostalgia.
Yeah,
the Power Rangers.
Well, that's thanks to Gen X and all that. But I always enjoy it because when you have a big popular hit, you'll have the knockoff shows, and this always occurs.
There was a lot of fucking knockoff Power Rangers.
Yeah,
shit. Virtual Rangers or something
like that. It was the
There was some
Superhuman Cyber Squad featuring Lawrence's brother Matthew Lawrence, I think it was.
Oh my god!
Tim Curry is the voice of the evil robot. But I mean, the same thing with like Pokemon, and in 99 I did play the card game, so
I couldn't. I mean, I played Magic with my buddy once.
Never played Magic.
I couldn't fucking. He was fucking making up rules left and right. Yeah. And shit. I just tossed my cards.
What we did in middle school was that there was a game called Overpower, which was based on Marvel.
Oh, yeah,
comics.
The Marvel cards. Yeah, yeah.
That was great, but I kept losing, and I used to spend all my money on trying to get cards and all like it's a one per deck card. Oh, oh yes. And we try to create our teams, and like it'd just be the most random superheroes, and then it would just
nerds.
Be, yeah, a bunch of goddamn nerds, and things like that. But Pokemon never really. I do admit I did want, and I said this on the boards. I did watch Digimon. And once again, at this point, you'd have been like 20, what the hell are you doing? For me, because I was a shut-in, I had to catch up real fast. I'm like China that way, so I did watch. Because I'd be, for the hell of it, I'd just be sitting there Saturday morning, goddammit. SWAT Cats at this point had passed us by. So, that was a show for furries right there.
SWAT Cats were gone now, too?
I think so. But SWAT Cats also wasn't around. Once again, another show for furries. That was another weird show, also. the stuff that... And that was a Ted Turner production, if I'm not mistaken.
Not unlike Captain Planet. Captain Power. Yeah, Captain Planet. Yeah, Captain Power. That was something else.
Yeah.
Yeah, Captain Planet.
Oh, Lord.
I hated Captain Planet, dude. I hated that shit so much.
Why is that?
It was so lame. I mean, when I was a kid, even I could tell that shit was just so fucking
This is
lame.
Fucking bullshit, right?
This is fucking garbage. Oh, my sister has some of the Captain Power toys and shit.
No kidding.
Captain Planet. I keep going to the wrong captain.
I think the best Captain Planet use of Captain Planet was in Robot Chicken when Ted Turner thought it was Captain Planet. I still don't know what heart is, and... Once again, the nostalgia critic said it best, and it was the only other interesting thing about that show was at least that all the celebrities they had like Ed Asner, Whoopi Goldberg, Jeff Goldblum was in the show.
Whoopi Goldberg, yeah, she did the voice of like the god or
yeah, Jeff whatever. Goldblum played the rat guy for some reason.
Oh my god,
I didn't even notice, but wow. I wasn't familiar with Goldblum back in the day, so and I even saw that guy once. Yes, he is as tall as he looks in TV.
Nice.
Oh yeah, he towers over everybody.
I did meet Tommy Lee at a Toys R Us in Thousand Oaks.
Oh Lord. I can't imagine. His kids are like probably like 16, 17 years old now. So I'm like, I can't even imagine what those guys are like.
No, who knows?
Oh Lord.
All
right. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But speaking of TV, I know. I assume, obviously the big thing still being is Jersey Shore. Did you ever try watching that?
Nope. If it's on MTV, then it's
your
more
TV
than
is too good to be shot
it.
If you try to watch
it. My time is too precious to be spent on some bunch of lame-ass Guidos in Jersey.
Yeah. And the sad thing is the Guido thing was done before, back in the 80s, when you had dudes with mustaches and mesh shirts. They did it right.
Oh,
that's how it was
God.
Done back in the day.
Yeah.
They looked like Oates from Hall & Oates.
Oh, God.
But so they're going to do a sequel of Jersey Shore where it's going to be in South Beach, Florida. So that defeats why do they call it Jersey Shore?
What the fuck? Fucking MTV, dude.
Oh yeah, I mean, did you remember when MTV was with it, or even when you were?
I remember they used to play music videos and shit.
Yeah, I mean, when I was
television and shit like that.
Yeah, they finally got rid of the term music television in their logo because they realized we don't do that no more.
Well, even when they had fucking Liquid Television on there, and they had like the head,
yes,
and shit like that,
the Max, which is coming out on DVD.
Yeah, that shit was fucking great.
And I remember because I got to see Freaked at the New Bev. They were talking about, I think it was Alex Winter had his own show. Was it The Head or something else that was on Liquid Television?
Yeah, there were some weird shows on Liquid Television.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember all of them.
And then the Grunt Brothers, I think there was. Yeah. I only remember the Grunt Brothers because I have a CD of TV theme songs and it features that. More importantly...
Has the Grunt Brothers theme song
It on? Does have the Grunt Brothers
Holy
theme...
Holy Lord.
Yes, and also Duckman, but that was USA.
Oh,
my father loved Duckman. And
Jason Alexander.
Yeah, and he always wanted to be called Corn Fed at the office.
Your dad's fucking out of control, dude.
Yeah. He always wanted to be called that at the time, so. But yeah, so they got Jersey Shore. Now, obviously, because Jersey Shore showed up, they now have Jersey Shore the porno.
Oh,
not,
man.
You know, the Jersey Shore parody. I watched the trailer of someone of this trailer of this. I couldn't get through it all. I mean, and I somehow was able to get through most of Crow 4.
I don't know how you did that.
I had to fast forward it. I had to, you know, David Boreanaz is a sinkhole of charisma. I never watched Buffy, so I don't care. Or I watched Angel, so
yeah.
I never got into it. Never really cared for Whedon, and I just couldn't get through it. And so they got the Jersey Shore porno.
Wow.
And if you really want to see the trailer for this, you go over to like crack.com. The editor over there reviews the, you know, he's a dude from Jersey. He's Irish though, so you know.
Ooh.
But
okay.
But so they have the trailer, and they go to the place where they're supposed to be. How do you know it's supposed to be Jersey Shore? They got an Italian flag on the wall. It's
there
like
you go.
We're home.
That's all you need.
Yes. And I'm not, you know, I don't know if you ever watched any of those porn parodies. I'm still wondering how the hell does the Seinfeld porn parody work? Why does anyone want to see George doing it?
Ugh, I know they got that Batman porn parody.
They got the Star Trek porn one. I actually listened to a review of this because they're at one point, and it hasn't, and these guys have not done an episode in months. It's called Porn Plus Plus. It's a porn reviewing podcast.
Yeah, I think you mentioned it before.
Did you hear about this?
You mentioned it.
Did you ever
listen to it?
I
have not listened to it.
Well, basically, I mean, I got tired of it because it was like the same shit all over again, because once again, porn is what it is. You can only review so much, but these guys would review porn movies as if they, you know, straight. They would review it on its merits. The sex acts, the scenes, what's going on,
I've never watched a porn movie all the way through.
Yeah, no one has.
Yeah.
No one has.
Maybe the first one, All American Girls in Heat Part 2, I think.
Was this on videotape?
Yes, it was an old VHS tape. I brought it over to my buddy's house when his parents were out one night. We just sat there, the first porn we ever watched, watching the whole thing.
See,
Ron Jeremy was in it and everything.
Oh, Lord. And, see, the thing I always wondered about porn is, like, why do you watch with another group of guys? It's like, I'm going to need someone in case I need to jerk off in front of you. So, I'm like...
Extra hand. Or
yeah,
something.
Extra hand. I mean, basically get yourself into a Bob Crane-like situation. But, so these guys on Porn Plus Plus would review porn movies completely, you know, straight. And, you know, but like I said, it would get very repetitive after a while. Not to mention, there are always things I never could understand of, like, why does the guy want to, like, you know, blow the load in front of the girl's face? I mean, I think maybe, you know, Colonel Rape Monster, a.k.a. Faster, Faster, Pussy Galore, a.k.a. Die Zuckerbusin, a.k.a. The Kale, could explain this to me. I think he would know, but...
He would probably know about,
He knows a lot of shit, if you've ever encountered him on the boards. It's ridiculous, but... You know, I never could understand that. And then the other thing of, like, I've seen some porn in my life. For whatever reason, if you put a condom, that somehow destroys the experience.
It destroys it.
Now, you don't have that in gay porn. I could tell you that for a fact because I haven't come across, I've seen some. You have that. But anyway, so you got Porn Plus Plus. Like I said, it's somewhat interesting. Now, one of these guys, and I know they wouldn't give a shit about who I am, but he basically talks like Gomer Pyle. You know, it's very funny. It's like, now you see when the girl is doing the reverse cowgirl.
Oh, my God.
Surprise, surprise, surprise.
You listen to this without wanting to blow your brains out?
No, I mean, after a while, like I said, it got very repetitive. And they never did a review on the MILF Hunter. So, you know, I never, at this point, I got really tired. Now, it was very funny when they went over the names of the porn actors, but they were talking about like Sasha Grey, I think, and like some other shit. And but the Star Trek one was really funny, I thought it was. But I could say I've not come across a Doctor Who porno. That'd be very disgusting, actually.
You know what? Get on it, dude. Start producing.
I'm not going to do that. I wouldn't know a single thing. I mean, I only came across that thing recently And I enjoy that show. I know I get a lot of flack for it, but I dig it, and maybe it's because being a loner, I could relate to a guy who walks around and basically travels the stars.
Travel the stars in a phone book?
In a phone booth, yeah, basically.
Phone book.
Yeah, well, maybe if it was Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, he'd be using a phone book, but... Yeah. I enjoy the show for what's worth. Like I said, I never followed Star Trek. My folks never followed Star Trek, and my dad was a huge sci-fi guy. I mean, in terms of the classics, he would read Asimov, he would read Clark. You know, he could tell me up. You know, he tried to Heinlein, all that stuff, and I just never really followed it. I mean, the first Star Trek movie I remember seeing was Generations in the theater, and I liked First Contact. I don't know why I watched Insurrection.
First Contact's the only Next Generation film I've seen.
Yeah. The rest of them are utter garbage. Even though Picard is a smooth operator, but he can't compete with the swagger and the swarthy Latin charms of Kirk.
Well, Kirk was a pimp.
Kirk was and will always be a pimp. You know,
this is true.
Yes, and hell, I even once saw Walter Koenig at a book fair. So it was something else to see. But like Khan is just a damn good movie. I say that because I just recently the guy who directed that movie wrote a book about filmmaking, Nicholas Meyer, great book, and he's a really cool guy to talk to and whatnot. But yeah, other than that, you've been, I know you still following Star Wars, or after the prequels killed it for you.
I'm so done with it, dude.
You know what's funny for me? I bet you didn't know this. I did not see the original. The first time I ever saw Star Wars. I first came across it when they re-released it back in '97. I got shit in middle school about that because I had said I had never seen it before. I remember it would play on Channel 5, but I never saw it. So I saw the redone ones, and I remember when I would go to Dave's Laser, I would see the those Laserdiscs of the originals.
I got them on.
And those are collector's items.
Yeah, I got them on. My buddy gave them to me for my birthday.
Yeah, it's a hell of a thing.
Yeah, it's fucking awesome. I'll never be able to watch them because I don't know anybody that owns a Laserdisc.
Yeah, it's crazy because just like old computer technology, cool. Like if you remember from War Games, those huge floppy disks that didn't hold shit in terms of information, Laserdiscs are the same way.
Yeah.
A Laserdisc would have two sides.
Oh, yeah, it was all fucking double-sided.
I remember even with really old Laserdiscs, you have to manually flip them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember the Ghostbusters Special Ed Edition was like four discs.
Oh, my Lord.
Huge plates. And, yeah, that was something else.
Ridiculously huge.
But speaking of that, I know they're saying they're gonna do Ghostbusters 3. I'm against it, but how do you feel about that?
I am. I would love to see them get back together and shit.
But you know it's gonna be garbage.
I know, dude. It's just fucking. Ivan Reitman hasn't done shit since like '93 when he did Dave. That was
his last good movie.
That was his last fucking good movie. I mean, I'm seriously just like. It's gonna be another fucking Crystal Skull. I feel it's gonna be fucking Crystal Skull all over again.
At this point, I have no problem with them bringing back Ghostbusters. I think, you know what? Don't say a reboot. Just have them hand it off to a new crew.
Yeah.
Get someone that that's gonna enjoy them. You know, I think it's gonna have fun with it. I couldn't name you a director, but I love. Right. You know, it's always cool to fan cast. You know, who could be. The new Ghostbusters. I'm not asking for extreme Ghostbusters. Do you remember?
Yeah, I remember they had the guy in the wheelchair. And
yes,
yeah.
Yes, the dude in the wheelchair, the Latino dude, yeah. The goth chick that with a really strong New York accent, and the black guy, and Egon with the ponytail. Yeah, and yeah. But Janine somehow just kept getting hotter and hotter for some reason. But I say, I have no problem with bringing that franchise back. I think it's a good one, but don't do it with the same guys. It's really bad. Because to me, if you're going to do a sequel, you have a limited time. Now, I'm always of the mind that for the second, I don't even know if they should have done a second one. Because to me, I mean, the second one was
just like a reboot of the first one, kind of. Just a fucking remake, it felt.
Yeah.
And where they walk around using the NES Advantage in the Statue of Liberty.
Yes, that was, and the good ectoplasm looking very suspect, if you get my drift. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I feel like a million bucks. But I would say the funny thing is, when you look at the first one, after they put away Zool, it's like they just ended their business, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only argument you could make for the second one. It's like, why are they poor again? But it's like, the only other thing that kind of bugged me was like, why did, they got their asses sued off? Like, they saved the goddamn city. They saved the world, and they got fucked over.
Fucking Walter Peck, dick.
I know. William Atherton, he actually played a good guy once in a movie. He was very ginger, and it was in Steven Spielberg's The Sugarland Express.
Sugarland Express.
Yeah, oh. But Ghostbusters, I don't know. I mean, there are other things you could do with it.
I'll just be waiting to see. Hopefully, I'll be proven wrong. But
I mean, the video game I heard was all right at best.
The video game was okay. It was what it was. It was.
But Bill Murray was phoning it in. So
I mean, nobody. Only Aykroyd really seemed fucking stoked about it. And
well,
shit.
Yeah, Aykroyd is. You know, he's. You know, even though he gets keeps getting progressively fatter and fatter. He's actually doing the Blues Brothers with Jim Belushi out in some Indian casino right now. He's actually got a vodka, too. Comes in a skull.
Oh,
Dan Aykroyd's vodka. Yeah. Oh, God. But
that's interesting.
Yeah, I know. Although, I wonder if in some alternative universe they actually had John Belushi in Ghostbusters. He was supposed to be Slimer, Slimer was based off of him. He would have been amazing in Ghostbusters. That would have been nuts. In the best in the words of Rob Hughes, it certainly would have been epic. But... other than that, you know, I can't think of another franchise I'd want to, you know, even consider trying to see. Because you know what? Ghostbusters 3 will probably beat Blues Brothers 2000.
Oh,
God help us all.
Let me tell you, we do not need Blues Brothers 2000 around.
No, we do not.
Oh,
that movie had been around for so long, they were trying to get that thing done that they wanted Macaulay Culkin originally as the kid. I mean, it's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. And there's no reason for that kind of thing. I mean...
No reason at all.
No, I mean, like I said, I mean, they're going to redo Spider-Man. Total clown shoes. That's going to be the worst.
Everything's going to get rebooted. It's just like fucking... It's nonsense.
I don't mind a reboot, essentially, because, I mean, to me, at this point, you might as well not even bother with continuity. I mean, you know, Sherlock Holmes was this way. James Bond was this way. That's why I always like the James Bond fan theory about how there's never 007 and the name James Bond is actually given to somebody.
Yeah.
That would explain why he can always get new guys in, but it's the same code name. You know, but like Sherlock Holmes, same thing. So there's no... Even Arthur Conan Doyle didn't give a shit about continuity. So there's he just played fast and loose. But the only thing I could say that's coming back from the 80s I think it could be worthwhile is maybe Predators.
Because Tron.
Tron, that's right. Tron Jeff like Bridges continuing to be a pimp. I don't know if you saw Crazy... Oh, yeah, you didn't see Crazy Heart.
Yeah.
Very good movie. Yeah. But I'd say you have to be a country music fan to really get into it. But he's really good.
I... Can't stand country music, but I like Jeff Bridges a lot, so I'm going to be checking it out.
To him and Starman was amazing.
Oh, so I just watched Starman a few months ago on Netflix.
Did you cry at the end? I know I did.
It was fucking sad.
That was John Carpenter was like a hired gun for that movie. I think that was outside of like, you know, maybe Halloween and Escape from New York. I think that's his best movie. It's one of his best.
Yeah, don't forget about the thing there, my friend.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Oh, Christ, I'm glad you warned me. Otherwise, I begin to hate voicemail. And speaking of which, let me introduce you to our new voicemail.
A voicemail!
Yes, at some point we'll actually have voicemails. I set this up today. Hopefully it works. 206-337-8802. That's once again 206-337-8802. Once again, feel free to leave, you know, any kind of, you know, filth you want. I'll be keeping an eye on it. And, you know, we'll make sure, you know, so if it's heavy breathing and sound of you jerking off, I'm not going to include that. Yes. It's going to be like that Patton Oswalt skit on Funny or Die when he's got the public access. In fact, if someone could call in doing the Al Pacino soundboard, by all means, go right ahead. Yes. You just cost me $5,000. You stupid fucking cunt. You know?
Unbelievable. You're a great ass.
Yes. Yes. Don't waste my motherfucking time. He was the best in Heat, and the most outside of Angels in America, where he's playing Roy Cohn, where he's being Pacino. The Insider was his last great role, in my view.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in my view, Pacino was definitely not. De Niro clearly is phoning it in. I think Pacino is actually trying to care.
I think so.
Maybe.
I think.
But, oh, God, I'm glad I didn't see Righteous Kill. I knew that was going to be a steaming heap.
Yeah, it looked like a pile of shit.
Well, not only that, they're pushing 70, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Redonkulous.
Yes, absolutely redonkadonkulous.
Yes.
Yes. But, and speaking of that, and I think we'll wrap it up quickly, is that They Live, the remake. Thoughts, if any?
I've been waiting for more They Live. I'm still waiting for a fucking awesome Blu-ray release on that film. I fucking love that film.
Yes.
So they're going to be doing a remake?
They're trying to do it. It's like Escape from New York.
Originally, I know about the Escape from New York remake. I've heard about that.
Yeah. I don't mind. Actually, you know, maybe the Escape from New York remake may not be too bad. I know they'd always been trying to... The idea originally was to have Escape from Earth as the anime, and it never took off.
Yeah.
Well. I remember even there was like an Escape from Comic. And I remember this because it was a guy by the name of, I think, Tone Rodriguez, was the artist. I remember from this comic called Violent Messiahs, which is like a really good comic if you're 15 years old. But yeah, he was supposed to do it. He was doing an Escape From comic, and it never really finished.
Yeah.
And maybe it could have, you know, Escape From New York be good. I don't know. Nothing will replace the original. We're the Duke of New York, a number one. But
I don't know. It depends on who they cast as Snake, dude.
Yeah. Well, they were Gerard Butler was originally supposed to be it. So I don't know. I can't think of anyone really off the top of my head that could be, you know, a damn good Snake. I just remember, according to, because I read this on Chud, that the Snake Plissken of, the new Snake Plissken must have an eye patch.
Yeah.
Must be a badass.
Must be a badass.
Must have a snake tattoo on the stomach.
Yeah.
Those are the requirements. So, well, I don't know.
Nobody's going to be fucking Kurt Russell, dude.
Nobody. I mean, Christ, I wish, well, Jeff Bridges is basically a classier, is the rich man's Kurt Russell, so. that would have been something, though. I mean, you could have switched him out. It would have been perfect, I think. You see Jeff Bridges being that kind of act would have been better than Blown Away. But as for They Live, I mean, to me, if you were going to have They Live in, as the lead, Nada, because he has no name, I think that would have been perfect for Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah, I could see that.
But we know he's not going to do action movies anymore. Although I liked Escape from Witch Mountain. That was a solid piece of entertainment.
I just like the fucking little pictures that they put up on fucking on Brain Dead of what the fucking little comedy skit of him like talking in the front seat to the girl in the back.
Yeah. That internet meme right there. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that look of horror on his face. I mean, I didn't even try watching Southland Tales. I could not get through it.
I haven't even tried to watch
it. Don't even bother. I mean, I don't even think I can get a midnight screening of that. I mean, Jesus, you know. You know, maybe that would be good for him. Because, I mean, someone had mentioned, like, Stone Cold Steve Austin. I'm like, the hell with that shit. Dwayne Johnson has far more charisma and is a perfect successor to Rowdy Rowdy Piper.
Yeah, I took a piss next to The Rock once.
Well, yeah, hopefully
true story.
I imagine that water must have been very cold and deep.
Yeah, not much more to that story than just the fact that we were in a urinal next to
each other. Didn't want to pull a Larry Craig right then and there and, you know, just... say, you know, why hello there.
I wasn't going to be asking for a people's elbow or anything like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no, you don't want
no,
that.
No, no.
It's very, God, I never followed pro wrestling either, although I do remember way back when, WrestleMania, when you'd get it on pay-per-view. Oh, wait, yeah. You still get it on pay-per-view. I remember Ultimate Warrior, Hulk Hogan.
Oh, man.
And
back in the day.
Andre the Giant, awesome. And Hacksaw Jim Duggan,
Hacksaw
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Yep. Oh, that shit was classic. I used to have a hockey table in my house, and it was a wrestling table, so it was like Hulk Hogan and the Macho Man and the Ultimate Warrior and Ted DiBiase and Andre the Giant, and they were all little. They were all like hockey players and shit.
And
it
then,
was
oh,
fucking
yeah.
awesome.
They had Bret the Hitman Hart,
Bruce
and then Rowdy
the
Roddy Piper.
Cake.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Christ! Who is the white haired dude? Shit.
Ric Flair.
That's it.
Yeah.
Oh Lord.
Oh man.
Oh yeah, Bam Bam Bigelow.
Bam Bam.
And then
Bigelow.
The to a lesser extent, King Kong Bundy.
Yeah, I loved wrestling as a kid. Not,
yeah, well, who
not,
didn't?
Not so
I
much
mean,
anymore.
Of course. I mean, yeah. I don't know if it's still a big thing nowadays. I mean, I think wrestling, because I remember there was WrestleMania back in the early 90s, then it kind of went quiet. There was WCW, and then there became NWO with the Dark Hulk Hogan, and then The Rock showed up.
Hollywood Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, I think that, well, that's what that was. I remember kids wearing t-shirts.
Yeah.
You know, it was the late 90s, and it was NWO, New World Order, so I have no idea what that was.
And then fucking, like, WWE and fucking WCW combined and shit, and it got crazy.
Yeah. Oh, WCW, that's right, it was Ted Turner. I remember there was a match involving Jay Leno was in a wrestling match. He was. And he won, man. Obviously. But he was out there, like...
drive people.
Yeah, he was duking it out, I think. He really was, with the, was it Diamond Dave or something like that? Shit, I just remember this
fucking
diamond thing.
He used to do the diamond cutter.
Yeah, that's it.
Diamond Dave.
I think
David Lee Roth.
Yeah, David Lee Roth also showed up. And then it was also in Ready to Rumble with David Arquette. And, although Eight-Legged Freaks was okay. So.
I saw that in theaters. There was
I did too, actually.
The fucking spiders were like gremlins. They were like cackling and laughing and shit.
Yeah, they were. Like, and of course, Ted Levine is the creepy dude.
Yeah.
And although I think, and speaking of, you know, Ted Levine, because I just woke up this morning, I was like hungover as all hell. I briefly became Nick Nolte there for a minute. I was like, ah, oh, god damn it. Hell. There's some YouTube series where, like, it's Nick Nolte, Gary Busey, and Kris Kristofferson sharing an apartment together in North Hollywood, California.
That's just
and then they recorded their
too
adventures.
Too much manliness for me.
Oh, yeah. And then, oddly enough, Nick Nolte's son also got arrested, and he's the kid who gets kidnapped in Ransom. Oh, that poor son of a bitch. But I don't think there was ever a time when Nick Nolte didn't play Grizzled. I really don't. I got nothing.
I I can't think of nothing.
Yeah, I know, but...
Yeah.
Oh, he was good, though, in Cape Fear. He could stammer like no one's business in Cape Fear.
Cape Fear was a solid film.
Yeah, it was really good.
I like the original, too.
Never seen the original, but the remake was great. I mean, De Niro was really creepy. It was also during that period where Juliette Lewis was in every goddamn movie.
Oh, man, Juliette Lewis, I was watching her with her band... on TV.
Does she still look like a Muppet?
Dude, she's so disgusting. I just never found her hot at all.
It's not even an issue of the fact she has no tits.
No. She just doesn't do it for me at all. But yeah. The music, her band, oh my god, it was atrocious, dude. I wanted to fucking...
Was it like new metal?
Dude, it was just shrieking, dude. I wanted to take like barbed wire and just ream myself with it.
Funny story about shrieking, because I'm not a fan of Cookie Monster vocals at all. Like, I'd be hearing these great melodies, and the guys go, "Arr!" I'm like, fuck, you killed it for me, man. I remember it was the first concert I ever was at for AFI. Yes, AFI. Oh. And, like, this is in 2004. That was my very first concert. Yes, I went to my first concert when I was 20.
well, dude, I have not been to a concert before, so you have beaten me there.
Never been to a concert? Really?
I have never been to a legit music concert. The closest I've come to...
But you've gone to shows, I bet. Like, you know, like Guy Genou or something like that or anything like that.
Well, like bands, like local bands.
Yeah, local bands. Yeah, I mean, that's a show. That's
but like a legit band, the closest I come to was I went to the beach with my buddy. His mom took us to the beach to go see fucking Jefferson Starship on the beach.
Man, that must have been rank that day.
There was a bunch of hippies holding up their... Hold on, there was a baby being held up by his hippie parents, like right next to the speaker and shit, dude.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, my Lord, indeed.
There was like some fair. Nonsense band. I think it was called Static Lullaby. It was some, you know, some emo, screamo shit. And there was Coheed and Cambria, where you had, and the dude, it was like the weirdness of, it was like had like Lord of the Rings shit. It was kind of like it was Rush. But the dude looked like Hurley from Lost.
Oh.
So you had two different bands, and we had been sitting there delayed as shit. And, like, we were so tired. Basically, the Coheed and Cambria was, like, the wrong band for this audience. They're, like, throwing shit at him. They're, like, the guy, once again, looks like Hurley, so he's got that big hair. They're, like, throwing lit cigarettes and, like, just shit at him. It was, they had to, like, stop the show repeatedly. And, like, now, for, like, a Static Lullaby, which was, like, the first show, I made the mistake of going to the pit. I learned my lesson, man. Because I nearly got sucked under, and what happened was there was some girl in front of me. I ended up, because I had to kept frisking myself to make sure I had my wallet, so my arm was like jammed in front of her face. I could feel her teeth sinking into my arm.
Whoa.
And thankfully I was like, I didn't get, my skin wasn't broken, but I didn't, she was biting me, and like, I was
the
like,
Lord Hawken must cast down this bitey woman.
Yeah, I know.
This bitey woman.
Yeah, I don't like that kind of backbiting, you know, if you know what I'm saying, but, so you got all that business going on, and I'm like, hey, you know, it's like later on, like when the show's over, I'm delirious. My friend Randall's delirious. He's so tired. He's like sitting in the back. You know, we had to drive all the way to San Bernardino, which is an 8-mile drive.
Yeah, that's no fun.
We were, you know, I was trying to write a concert review for my college newspaper, which didn't fly. They didn't accept it. And I later discovered my watch was ripped off. And but they for some reason the concert security didn't allow me to keep my umbrella because it was raining, so I was like ready to use it as a weapon. But
wow, and this is at an AFI concert.
Yeah,
holy Lord.
Well, this was all the way in San Bernardino, and then 2 years later I went to their show in Long Beach, and then I was like, I had gone right after work. I'm like, yeah, I'm done. So
I'm done.
Yeah, and then I just moved on. I haven't been to a concert. Christ, in at least a couple of years. I just haven't had the drive. It's for me, and this is the reason why I'm not. I mean, it sucks because like I greatly enjoy live music, but when you're, for me, concert, you're just like, you're standing there for hours and it's so boring. I mean, you gotta go with other friends. That's why I've only gone to like one kind of like rave in my life. Now I know I've seen your pictures where you've told us masturbating is not a crime, so I know you've been there. But
no, I was not a raver, dude.
Well, what was that photo then?
That was me just at a party.
Oh, okay.
I had my hair bleached blonde, and I had a...
Because at the time, everyone bleached their hair blonde.
Yeah.
I did not.
Fucking did it.
I
wasn't a raver. I didn't have the big old pants, not the candy fucking shit.
You didn't look like someone from Go, which is like, I think if I want to show someone what a movie, what life was like in 99, I'll show them Go.
Yeah.
And so that was, for me, for a concert, you got to go with other people, because otherwise you're just going to be bored shitless. And it's just so... Because the only show I've ever been into that ran on time was Depeche Mode, and I was, like, shocked that it ran on time. So I've never had any desire to really stand there and go. I mean, Yeah, maybe if it's like a local thing, maybe that would be cool if it so happens, but I just have not seeked anything. Plus, you know, it's always the ass raping from Ticketmaster. It's not pleasant.
To give them any money.
Which is unfortunate because they just bought Live Nation. And there's, you know, just...
I went to a symphony a few weeks ago with my wife.
Oh, it's very nice. The LA Symphony?
No, it was some symphony in Thousand Oaks Civic Center.
Oh, nice.
We went there.
Did you get dressed up? Did you have your opera glasses?
Well, I guess probably I should have gotten dressed up, but I'm like...
Did you didn't wear... I remember this from MTV. It was a half shirt that read, "It's not a beer belly, it's a fuel tank for a sex machine."
I was going to put that shirt on, but I decided...
Or the tuxedo t-shirt.
Not so much.
Tuxedo t-shirt. There's another tuxedo t-shirt.
Scooter LaBeef wore that to my wedding.
Nice.
He had a tuxedo t-shirt on.
There's a tuxedo t-shirt that shows the tuxedo like top part undone. That has the bow tie off to the side.
Classy.
I think it's a Woot t-shirt.
That's classy shit right there.
And then they have the leprechaun tuxedo t-shirt and a purple tuxedo t-shirt.
Oh, my.
But, yes. Yeah. Now, I've never had worn a tuxedo t-shirt, but, you know, it's classy. That and beer sunglasses show you that you're at a classy party.
Exactly.
But that's very nice. Symphonies are always cool. I mean, I've never gone to the Philharmonic myself, but, you know, I mean, I went to school stuff that we would go to, and, you know, or, like, I remember once I attended, like, a jazz show, which was somewhat entertaining. I was surprised.
Jazzy.
Yeah, nice. I mean, I'm not, you know, it's good. Jazz is, like, atmosphere music to me. I mean, I think it was, like, yeah, if you ever listen to, like, Paul F. Tompkins, he, like, said it best about jazz. It's like, you just don't get it, you know, just because there are jokes in there that only jazz people understand. But
yeah, I've never been into jazz that much.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, like, you want to have good atmosphere music in the background, you know, mood music. Or you want to feel very madman like you throw that shit on. So, but other than that, we just keep going on. And unless you got anything else, I think it's a good time. I think we can, you know, wrap this one up.
I think we've busted out a fucking solid episode here.
Yeah, absolutely. That you're absolutely right. We're going now. We've broken a new personal record here.
I hope this cold I have hasn't fucking made my voice sound too shitty.
No, I didn't notice.
Okay.
You still sound, you know, fine to me, King of Jews.
Oh well, thank you, sir.
So
thank
with
you.
That. I think we'll conclude this episode. For the Ed Honkin Show, I'm Ed Honkin.
And I am Ari. Ari Schlunk.
That's right, the King of Jews himself.
King of Jews.
Stay frosty.
Bye-bye.